Well, tonight I want to talk about why my sermon is just worthy of praise. However, you will come to realize that the sermon is, you will praise the sermon not because of me, but I want to show you why you're going to praise the sermon. And it's because of what I have studied this week. All of these scriptures up here, these are expressions of praise that I have went through the New Testament and found. And this shows just how God good is, because in a lot of these these expressions of praise, this is how people responded to the good that God had done in their life. Now, this is not every outburst of praise in the New Testament. I know I'm missing some, and I know my engineers in here. I counted about 17. I mean, you all are probably going to count me one off or count me one before. But certainly this is the New Testament doxology prayers, praises in the New Testament, and the Old Testament also has a lot of expressions of praise. And so this is not a new concept. This is a continuum of long, rich history of people expressing praise to God on behalf of what he has done. Now, your Bible might call these outbursts of praise doxologies. And what a doxology is, it is essentially what I just said, just an expression of praise on behalf of the good that someone has done. And so to prepare this lesson, I looked through every doxology in the New Testament, and I gathered them all together by the message that was communicated. And what I came to see was that in every outburst of praise, there was a reason behind it, that praise was a responsive act because of what God did. For example, I mean, if I told my mom, hey, mom, I am going to pay your house off, I mean, she would thank me like never before. Well, why would she thank me? Well, it's because I've given her a reason to thank me. In the same way, God is good to us, and so he has given us a reason to offer him praise. And so, as we begin, I want to look at these New Testament reasons as to why we should express our praise to God. And I didn't do this, and I'm sorry, I'm going to do it here. In Romans chapter 1, 25, and also in Romans chapter 9, verse 5, Paul will have these small expressions of praise. In Romans 1:25, he will say, the Creator who is blessed forever, amen. And then in Romans 9, verse 5, he will say, the Christ who is God over all, blessed forever, amen. Now, if you're not paying attention, you will read past those expressions of praise because they're small. And they're significant because this is just showing you the praise that is emanating from God's people. That here is Paul, he is talking about some other topic regarding than praise, and then all of a sudden he just breaks out and says, the God who is blessed forever, amen. And you know, that's the type of praise we ought to have in our lives. It ought to be a natural emanation because of who we are and because of what God has done. I remember back at Dowlin Road, there is a gentleman there, and people will refer to him as a walking, talking Bible, because in conversation, he's bound to come out and say something about God's word. And I think in the same way as Christians, God has given us so many reasons why we ought to be walking, talking praisers. And so let's see what the New Testament tells us or gives us as reasons or motivations why we ought to give God the praise that he deserves. And the first point is, or the first reason is to praise God is for his word. And so in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 17 through 18, Peter says this, therefore, my beloved, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, there are obviously different ways that we grow in God's grace and knowledge. But one way is just simply listening and applying his word. You know, someone has said before that the Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. Now, I don't know if that is all the way factual, but certainly God's word certainly instructs us. But think about if God's word did not instruct us. I mean, we would really be bad off. You just look at Saul in 1 Samuel 28. When God stops giving him his word, Saul begins to compromise with the culture. And what happens? He goes to consult a witch for direction. And in the same way, that would happen to us if we did not have God's word. And so God's word is central, and that's one reason we ought to praise it. But I don't have to tell us that. I mean, we know that God's word teaches us about the function and organization of the local church, in contrast to the religious world and how they organize the local church. That God's word teaches us how to pursue unity in a divided culture. That God's word tells us that we're all sinners. And yet his word also tells us that how one can be saved. God tells us how we ought to worship him. And so we don't have to go to some preacher, but we can go to God's word to tell us how we ought to worship him. I don't need to say this. We all know that God's word is worthy of praise. But I want us to think about something differently. We already know these things. But think about the fact that God's word is kind of divisive. That God's word kind of causes division. I just said that his word teaches us how to pursue unity in a divided culture. But you just look at the fact that oftentimes, when we're talking about the function and organization of the local church, it's different from what other churches are doing. When God's word tells us that we ought to hate our mother and father and sister and family, I mean, that's divisive. It divides homes. And so how do we reconcile those two? Well, we know what Jesus says. He says, in order to be my disciple, you must put me before your family, that my approval goes before your family's approval. I mean, we know what the Lord says about the function and organization of the local church. I can't go to an actual passage to explicitly state that, but we know that as disciples, he has called us to distinction and he has called us to live and think differently from the world. And so that's one reason to praise God's word. But think about the fact that God's word, why praise his word when in his word exposes our sins? You ever think about that? I mean, here we are. I mean, we just want to live life and enjoy ourselves and not worry about anybody or the kingdom of God. And God's word, he calls us selfish. And God's word, he calls us to change our living and to change our thinking. You think about the fact that people in the world, I mean, everybody's involved in fornication or something immoral. They're just wanting to enjoy life. But God, he calls it sin. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says, neither fornicators nor adulterers will enter the kingdom of heaven. And so there we go. Yeah, we can live our lives any type of way, but God's word, it ought to be praised because it teaches us how we ought to live and how we ought to remain holy even in the world. But lastly, think about the fact that God's word has brought about people's death. Now, why would I want to praise a word that brings about people's death? I mean, you look at the apostles, they knew very well that preaching the gospel meant death. And yet they were willing to accept death. Why? Well, it's because of what Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 35. He says, whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will find it. So that's one reason why we praise God's word, even though his word has led to a lot of people unfortunately dying. And I think, what if we experience what a lot of countries do experience, where they have to go to extreme measures just to learn or just to obey God's word? I think if we understood that from that perspective, I think we'd be willing to praise God's word even more because we see what's going on in the world. And so that's something for us to think about. Well, I want to wrap this first point up with Jude's declaration of praise found in the New Testament. This is one of the most powerful expressions of praise found in the New Testament. And Jude says this. He says in verse 24, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, and for now and forevermore, amen. Jude tells us that God's word is able to keep us from religious error, that God's word is able to keep us holy, that God's word is able to make sure that we stand in his presence holy and blameless. And so Jude gives us a reason why we ought to praise God's word. But I want to give you a second reason to praise God's word. And that is because, or praise God, and that is because that he has saved us. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, John says this, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Well, Mary came to worship the Lord because why? The angel told her in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, that you will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, just like God's word, I don't have to tell us that this is a reason to worship God or to praise him, the fact that we are saved. We already know that. But just think about if we weren't saved. And what if Jesus didn't die on a cross? And what if he certainly called 12 legions of angels? And what if Jesus quit at the first sign of ridiculing or mocking? That what if they found the tomb not empty? You think that we would praise God more for our salvation if we ask all the what ifs? Brother Howard said at the table, and I really do appreciate this, that when a loved one dies, there is sadness, and certainly there is. But there is also happiness and joy and hope. And it's because of the fact that Jesus died and he has saved us. And we know that because that person is saved, we will see that person again in much better circumstances. And so Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. He says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him." That's one reason, the fact that we are saved, to praise God. And we ought to do that more. But I love how Paul expresses his praise in Romans chapter 11, verse 33 through 36. But before we go there, I want to give you the context or the reason so you can appreciate the praise that he offers. In chapter 1 of Romans, Paul talks about how the Gentile has devoted himself to sin and God has given him up. In chapter 2, the Jew has done no better. And in chapter 3, Paul comes to the conclusion that all have sinned and all come short of the glory of God. But in chapter 5, that all changes. Because although we deserve God's wrath, verse 6 of chapter 5 of Romans says, "While we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." And even more than that, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." But more than that, Paul says in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us." And then in chapter 11, Paul would talk about how God has reconciled both Jew and Gentile and brought them into the kingdom of God. And this is what Paul concludes with. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." Paul asks rhetorical questions. He says, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? The answer is nobody. Verse 36, "For from him and through him and for him are all things." That God is the source of all wisdom and power. And he has demonstrated that wisdom and that righteousness through the fact that in chapter 1 and chapter 2, the Gentile were excluded from God. But in chapter 11, he has both brought them into the kingdom of God. And that Paul, this is how he expresses his praise and his thanks for the salvation that God has given. And so, once again, this is one reason why we ought to praise God for our salvation. But I want to give you a third reason to praise God for. And that is because he comforts us. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." You know, what a comforting truth that the Lord is not so far away from us that he is not willing to come near us and comfort us. You know, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 reminds us that Jesus was willing to share in our humanity. And so when we hurt or we face some crisis or we're overwhelmed with sin in our lives or we're grieved by the loss of a loved one, God doesn't just say, hey, it's okay, give it time, you'll be all right. He doesn't do that. God comes alongside of us and he gives us comfort and he makes sure that we are encouraged to go and serve his purposes. But also, this comforting fact, and in 2 Corinthians 1, has a spiritual purpose. We see that when God comforts us, that means we are to go and comfort others. Where we are not comforted just to feel good about ourselves, but we are comforted to go and put our hand around someone else. So it's like a cycle, and I believe Tim talked about this in his lesson, where God is the source of comfort, and when we need strength and comfort, he will comfort us. But we, when we're comforted, we're not to just sit in the back pew and act like the widow that just lost her husband or act like the poor or the outcast doesn't need comforting. We are to get up and we are to go put our hand around them. We are to go visit the shut-in. We are to make a difference in the people's lives because God has comforted us and we want to share that comfort with others. And so when we do this, that cycle continues to go and God is glorified and we are comforted. And we ought to praise God more for the fact that he gives us this comfort and we can go and comfort others. But also with that, or fourth point is that God, he strengthens us to do his will. And that is one reason that we ought to praise him. As Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, he says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, when I think about somebody in need strengthening, I think about Jesus, that after he was tempted 3 times by Satan, it said the angels came and ministered to him and they were strengthening him. So even Jesus needs strength in order to do God's will. But certainly Paul, if you go to 2 Timothy, just in that lone letter, he talks a lot about how he suffered to do God's will. And so in chapter 1, verse 8, he says to Timothy, do not be ashamed of me, but join with me in suffering for the gospel. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he says, for this reason, I also suffer these things, but am not ashamed. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, he says, suffer hardship with me. 2 Timothy 2, 9, I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. 2 Timothy 3, you followed my persecutions and sufferings which happened to me at Iconium, Lystra, and out of them all, I endured because the Lord rescued me. Just in 2 Timothy alone, Paul talks about all the suffering that he went through. And we know about Paul's other accounts of suffering. And yet Paul can say, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his kingdom. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. And so I ask, do you praise God when he strengthens you from a challenge or from a crisis that you've been facing? And when you're tempted to dress a certain way and look like the culture, and yet you learn that you don't have to do that, and God gives you the strength to be different, do you thank him for that? Well, Paul did. Paul thanked God for giving him strength to do his will. As the psalmist said in Psalm 71, verse 16, I will grow in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours only. I pray God help us do that as we praise him more for the strength that he gives us to overcome life's challenges and adversities. But I want to give you the last point, and that is, wow, it's not up there. So guess what? I'm just going to tell it to you. We praise God because he takes care of our needs. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 20, Paul says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory both now and forever. Amen. You know, oftentimes I worry about a lot of mundane things in life. And I need to remember Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. And in Genesis chapter 1, God created the world. He created the plants and the animals, the fish and the sea. And he said, you know what? That's good. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, he created you and me. And he said, very good. And so according to him, I am the crown of his creation, according to Genesis 1 and Psalm chapter 8. And God provided that for me. But God not only provided that, he provided Adam, if you remember, instruction to keep him away from what ultimately separated him from the Lord. God provided Adam a helpmate suitable that would help him rule God's creation as God had wanted them to. God knew what I needed way before he even made me, way before I even had a thought or an inclination of what I needed. He provided for me. But not only that, God provides for us in the wilderness times just like he provided for Israel. Remember, he provided them a cloud to guide them by day and a pillar of fire to guide them by night. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, God provided them manna to eat, as he says in Deuteronomy 8:3, manna which your fathers did not know. But that manna was only temporary, and God provided the spiritual nourishment so that Israel would know that man is to not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And even in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 4, God provided Israel's clothing and shoes, so that they did not have to worry. They did not have to ask the Lord, Lord, we need clothing, we need shoes. God provided it all, all the time that they were in the wilderness. And so the pressing needs that we have, you go back to Philippians 4:20, Paul says, hey, stop worrying. God's going to take care of that. He's doing it according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He's not doing it according to your power, your strength, your wisdom, and your might. It is according to God's riches. And you think about those riches. Those riches are eternal. They're never ending. They're unlimited. I mean, you think about the richest people in the world. You get Bill Gates, Warren Buffett. You get all of the billionaires and everybody who has money, and it does not measure up to the riches that come in Jesus Christ because they are spiritual and they are eternal. And Paul wants us to realize that. And so Jesus also reminds us in Matthew 6:8, he says, your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. And he tells us, if God feeds the birds, how much more will he feed you? You are more valuable. You are more worthy than them. And he says, your heavenly Father, he will take care of you. And so don't worry about what you're going to eat or worry about the mundane things of life. Jesus reminds us to focus on higher things. In other words, instead of worrying, do the opposite. Look to your heavenly Father because he is taking care of your needs. There is an ancient saying, even a hen lifts her head toward heaven when swallowing grain. Even a hen lifts her head toward heaven when swallowing grain. You know, maybe if we stop looking at what we did not have rather than what God has given us, I think that would help us be more thankful. And the fact that he is taking care of our needs. And so we do not have to worry. And so we say, we offer this simple prayer sometimes. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. And thank you for your kingdom and your sovereign influence in this world. That I know no good but you alone. And I just want to say thank you for blessing my life with your riches. I hope that we will have the courage to praise God more because he takes care of our needs. And so, how can we express, or how can you have this, how can you express your doxology, your expression of praise this week? Perhaps a card, perhaps sending a card to a brother or sister who hasn't been here in a while. Jude 1:25 is a wonderful reminder that the Lord is able to keep us from stumbling and to help us be in his sight, to help us be holy and blameless before him. Maybe helping someone start their day or end their night with a text message reminding them about salvation and reminding them about the wisdom of God in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Or we could use social media. A lot of us use that. Maybe you can express your praise by helping people realize that growing in God's grace and knowledge and making sure that you glorify him is far better than debating politics. And I think if we did those things, we might have those moments of praise that emanate from who we are. So may God help us express deep and genuine praise this week because his word is good. He has saved us, he has comforted us, and he has strengthened us. And more importantly, or not more importantly, but as importantly, he takes care of our needs. And so we can praise him all the more for that. Well, Maybe there's someone here tonight who realizes that they need saving. God's word tells us what Jesus has done, and he has died so that we could be saved. And God wants us to come to his kingdom. And you can do that right now if you come right now as we stand and as we sing.